Well, hello there. This is Jim, the Keys bartender, talking at a moderate tone because family's still asleep. I'm getting ready to go into work right now. It's a I am heading south, and we have this weekend in the Keys. This is one of the biggest events in the Upper Keys called the Nautical Flea Market, and it's at Founders Park. It's approximately how far south is that? It's mile marker 86, maybe. And I'm at 82, 16 miles south, and it's about 3 miles north of where I work. And it takes us an extra hour. So I made plans to just grab some breakfast down there, maybe get there a little early so I don't have to sit in a tremendous amount of traffic. I could sit here. Or sit here for a while, eat some breakfast, or go down there and eat some breakfast and not sit in traffic. So I'm choosing to do that. And I'll have to struggle through the crowd when I come back from work because I have to go. It ends at 5, and I'll probably be heading home right around then. But you know how it is with that. It takes a while for people to leave. I've been thinking about how many years I've been podcasting. It's going to be this, it'll be 7 years. It's going to be 7 years or 8 years. Starting in 2017, it's 2004. Yeah, it's going to go into the 8th year. It's going to be 7 years this April. I always got confused, but I was thinking it's going to be the 8th year, not 8 years. The 8th year I'll be podcasting, starting in about a month. Month and a half. And I realized that I always thought about doing something similar to this when I was younger and sharper of mind, not sharper of ideas. There's a subtle difference because I have ideas now, they just don't pop up as quickly as they did before. But I think my ideas weren't that great. I still don't. I come up with some pretty weird stuff, but I've been thinking like this is an older technology now. Podcasts have been around for over 20 years, and I'm in the 7th year. I guess that's not exactly like getting into telegraph in 1885, 1887. When the phone is being phased in the telephone. Imagine doing some kind of venue, just do it, if telegraph just kept on progressing and radio didn't come about and the telephone. And people just said, well, we get most of our entertainment through the telegraph. I mean, sitting there, dot, 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 dash, dash, dot, dash, and people telling jokes in a form of, telegraphy, I guess it's telegraphy. And say, yes, I've been doing the telegraph. I've been doing my telegraph show for 10 years. And I have this joke. It's not a particularly long joke, but it'll take about 10 minutes to tell this joke by telegraph. And then, the radio came about what? 1918, 1919. He had the first, and radio, gosh, 80 years. 80 years radio held supreme. I mean, well into the 21st century, I guess radio is still going on. But then you have the internet radio, you have podcasts, the way people watch YouTube, social media. And, when I started this show 7 years ago, I would go like an hour 15. A couple shows were 2 hours long. 2 hours, 2 hours. That was crazy. Try to hold someone's attention for that long. It wasn't just me, I had other people on. But, I had a problem with content. I had to write bits and things like that. Radio shows. I think I did a couple of those. Recounting, but this isn't an anniversary show. I've just been thinking about this, and I don't have, it doesn't always have to be about bartending, does it? So yesterday I had my, I was going to say scheduled day off. I don't really have a scheduled day off. My schedule kind of fluctuates, which I really love. I love not looking at a particular calendar week and think, well, I'm going to be working Monday through Friday. No, I could be working Monday, Tuesday, then Thursday, Friday, maybe pick something up Sunday afternoon. Know, all the floating days off. And I used to really irk me. And I hear when people would come into a bar and say, Happy Friday to people and say, you know, this is our busy part of the week. This is when we work. Imagine I would like to pop in. You've seen it in the movie The Office. Office Space. Office Space was the name of the movie. And someone says, oh, it looks like someone has a case of the Mondays. But how about coming to pop it up and say, hey, happy Monday to you. Happy Monday. And they say, well, why would you say happy Monday? It's the start of the work week. Not for me. I'm off on Monday, Tuesday. Not this week exactly, but I can do that. I could do that on a Tuesday and say to people, happy Tuesday. Say, that's a weird thing to say. And I say, yeah, I'm off the next 2 days. You know, I got a week coming. This is my last day. My last day before vacation. I mean, it's as if going into, let's say, a hospital ward. And someone's going to be there for several weeks. And you say, well, I'm out of this place. Have a great day. Enjoy your colostomy. Yeah. You don't really do those things, do you? But you feel perfectly fine doing that in a bar. So, to get back to the bar thing, I'm in a tourist area. So whenever I have to go through a high traffic area, I always factor that into my ride. And someone was explaining about the traffic to people down here. Said, well, you know, it's one road and all this. And whenever there's an event or an accident or anything unforeseen, we get our traffic jams. I know it doesn't seem like a lot of people here, but we do get a lot of traffic and it's one main road. There's no detours. I said, yeah, it is one main road. You know, the nice thing about it, though, when you're driving down the same road and straight as hell, and you're going 5 miles an hour, if you got something to do, if you had a podcast to listen to, a podcast, I'm saying, or music, it could be rather relaxing instead of stressful. There's no merging in and merging out, except for one area when we come up. I mean, they're merging in and merging out when there's two lanes going north and two lanes going south. But once I get about 10 miles south of here or 11 miles south of here, it's one road. So I give myself enough space, really just a relaxing ride, just sitting there, beautiful surroundings to look at. Sometimes I'm looking at the ocean or the bayside. It's kind of therapeutic. I just, and like I said, I give factor in the time so I don't get all stressed out over that. Matter of fact, I'm eating up the time right now. It is currently about 2 hours before I get in, you know, I need to be in work. But if I start too early, I know I'm going to be just sitting around. But that is the way I'm working today. And it's nice. Normally on Sundays, there is no normal on a Sunday, but I work today. I work till 4, probably get out of work around 4:30. Then spend another hour traveling north. But it won't be like a traffic jam because I'll be listening to one of the podcasts I listen to or listen to a playlist that I have. And if there's a bridge opening, and that does happen, there's one bridge, one drawbridge that opens up. But I haven't been stuck on that for months. For months, I drive north and south here, maybe. Gosh. I've driven there in the last month and a half about 40 times. I haven't, and it opens at the top of the hour. I don't recall seeing the bridge open. I count my blessings right there. That was pretty good. So I'm going to wrap this up and I'll be back. And tomorrow I guess I'll do the second half of the show. Then I'm still feeling as if I have to go, but I really don't have to go yet. I gave myself plenty of time. I got to resist the urge to be anxious. I do that at work sometimes. I wanted to think, I was thinking about how I've noticed things since the pandemic. And I used to think about the clientele, how they got nervous and how they don't really, when they were coming back from the quarantines and people not going out and wearing a mask, how nervous were people in front of other people and how unnatural their associations were becoming. And then I thought about the bartenders. There's a couple bartenders. You have people where a lion's share of bartenders I knew, they do that as their primary job. Like mine. I call it my primary job, even though I have two other or three other jobs. But there's people that have their primary job and bartending is part-time job. And there's a couple people I've met as bartenders, and they seem to be rather nervous about meeting people, which is an odd thing to think about if you're in a job where that's all you do. It's me. If you're, I guess the only other job that probably would be much more stressful for people that are nervous around new people would be a toll collector. Because all that is meeting people all day. Obviously, if you're a toll collector in a place where there's a lot of locals, you know, maybe every third person, there used to be a toll coming off the islands here. Off Hard Sound Road, they call it. And it was the one of two ways of getting to the mainland from here. As a bartender, to be nervous about people, because I would learn about this the best way you can by the first time you meet somebody. When you meet some people you meet, and they don't look you in the eye, and it's not because they're disgenuous or dishonest. It's because they're nervous. There's a couple people, and sometimes when people come up and they say very little to you or don't look in the eye, you have a tendency, or I had a tendency to think, well, there's something wrong. First time when they wouldn't say it, they were dismissive or not warm people. And nowadays, when I see it, I just see people as being somewhat reluctant to say hello. And it's not a judgment on you or judgment on them. It's just that they are not comfortable. I guess that is a judgment. But I'm not judging their character. And that's got to be a hard thing to do. It's like imagine being a police officer. I like being a police officer, but I don't like conflict, or a paramedic, but I'm not really comfortable around blood. Or proctologist. I am a germphobic. And you got to stick your finger up someone's butt. So I would really work that out. If you would consider working in the service industry, be sure that you're comfortable about meeting people and being comfortable around them. Because being nervous and doing that could be therapeutic. I guess doing something, it's like what G. Gordon Liddy did to get over his fear of rats. You always hear a story about how he was with that way. Well, I'm going to wrap this segment up, and I will be back again. Probably, well, it could be the possibility I could be doing it today. Have a great day, everyone. Even though it's really not as if I'm leaving, I'm going to be taking a, just going to sound like I'm having a 30-second break and then I'll be back. I can just say, oh, yeah, I just came back. I didn't leave. I just took a little break. Take care. Bye. Hello, I'm back. Yes, it's been about a day and a half since I recorded the first half of the show, but it was a beautiful weekend. I was working. We had an nautical flea market, one of the biggest events in the Upper Keys. Kind of ties up traffic, you know, about the one road. And on Sunday morning, I worked, and that was, I guess, the biggest day. So we had to wait a couple. It took about an hour and a half to go. What normally takes about a half hour. It's not unusual for people in other parts of the country experience that. It is unusual down here considering how so few people are here. But, you know, when you have an expectation, I have an expectation. I started out 2 hours earlier, about an hour and a half earlier than I normally would. And I ended up going to breakfast and I got to work about 45 minutes early because the traffic hadn't started up. And people say to me, well, why would you want to show up to work 45 minutes early? I just, if I had the opportunity not sitting in traffic, I would. And that hour and a half I'm talking about when I was coming back, it took me, it normally takes me about 30 minutes to come from work yesterday. It took about an hour and a half. But I'm not complaining about it. I just make sure I have things to do. I mean, you know, that's what I do. I mean, things to do. There's only so much you can do when you're driving, right? But I'll talk. I'll listen to podcasts, listen to music, call my family, wife, take care of phone calls I need to get on. You know, going 5 miles an hour, it's not a big deal if you give yourself enough time and you don't feel like you're missing out on things. So I have a tendency to do things that are just, I can do while I'm driving. And I don't do them when I'm home, when I have other things where I can engage my whole, you know, like sleep, napping, housework. So I just saw something on the internet. It was these, I would like to call it an experiment, but it's from people that believe in a flat earth, and they wanted to put have an experiment to prove their supposition that the earth is flat and it's a firmament above us. And what they did is they set up two lights between two holes in fence posts, and they had a camera and all this, and they're talking on their walkie-talkies. And what they did, they ended up proving that the world was round. And then there's a bunch of people, you know, they use science to prove what we already knew from the 1700s. And actually, some Greek philosophers actually believe that too. One believed by knowing the inclination of the celestial bodies and estimating the distance, they were able to estimate the circumference of the earth, and they did a really good job about 2,000 years ago. But nowadays, we're adjudicating that science, that the earth is round. Everyone, I guess, you have a group of people that think the world is flat. Then you have a group of people that believe that we're living in a simulation, a simulation in a supercomputer, maybe being run on the surface of a black hole. There was whatever crazy thing is out there. But as we get deeper into knowledge, into even into molecular chemistry, going, if you think of chemistry and the elements, if you go back a couple hundred years ago, they think about the molecules, iron, steel, they think about that. And then they to come up with the elemental table, and you have all these different elements, and then they go, electrons, protons, neutrons, and then they go even deeper into that, and that there's quarks, smaller bits that make up, and you keep on going down, and that really everything is just of vibrational energy, and people have a really hard time comprehending things. The more information we get, the harder it is for people to comprehend it. The simplistic ideas, and I don't want to piss anybody off, but I don't know if I'm going to piss anybody off, but I could. But the more simple an idea, if you think about it, it's just saying, hey, there's a supreme being, or pick your flavor of supreme being, and that supreme being created everything. That supreme being existed before everything. Well, what caused created a supreme being? They just existed. Okay, well, you kind of have a problem there, right? So something existing before anything existed. Why would it exist? Why would an entity exist before anything? What would be the causal event that caused the creation of an entity? And it just always was. It's just, what an easy explanation. It just always was. There was always a supreme being. And that supreme being decided to create. Now, if you want to get real simplistic, the earth and a flat earth with a firmament, and firmament being populated by lights in the sky. Nothing really is there. It's just almost like a something you put on the ceiling of your children's rooms, the little stars and all that. And then you move it there to keep time. And then he populated it with living organisms, plants. Obviously, before they did the plants, it would have to create the elements, create solids, a heat source, weather, and it's just an easier explanation. 6, 7 days, 7 days. I mean, think that the seventh day they rested. So in 6 days, if you go by the Old Testament and the Jewish and the Christians, you'd say it was created in 6 days, and that was it. Now, I understand completely that people say, well, science really can't explain it. The Big Bang. Trying to explain the creation of the universe to someone that has accepted the theological explanation for the universe, and not whatever the preeminent scientific, which is out of the infinitesimal point, a tiny point, there was exponential expansion. It was such a dense point that the universe started, and exponential expansion, meaning when it exploded, the Big Bang, in microseconds became incredibly huge and kept on expanding. And that's where all matter and energy come from. Well, what caused that event prior to it? There's no real hard and fast rule or explanation for what preceded any of the events. And that's a miracle. That's the miracle of the universe. That's enough, if you think about it, that, well, how could all this be? How could it be? And it just is. And maybe we're overthinking it. Meaning, here we are. I'm doing a podcast. I'm getting ready in a couple hours to go to my evening job. My wife will come home. She's working till 5, and my daughter's doing. I think she's playing today. There's a game, so she's playing lacrosse, and she'll come home. And then in that boundary of events for us. There's the whole universe playing there. And it's really difficult to grasp that. But scientists and theologians and people have to put some order into understanding why the world is the way it is. And it's such a huge thing that we can only look at it. It's like a huge mural that's millions and billions of miles wide and high, and you can never really grasp the whole picture, get a big picture of it. And I imagine the most brilliant scientists, the most, whenever artificial intelligence arises, a true artificial intelligence that's independent of humans, eventually becomes independent of humans, will have a hard time grasping the totality of it. And I think what happens is when people reach the end of their road, meaning of understanding, they put a period, they like to put a period, an end on something. So they can just say, well, this is what I believe. And instead of just saying, well, it's a rabbit hole and it goes on forever, forever. Think about it. The universe, we talk about our sun. And with if you take a theological model of the world, we'll stick with the Christian one right now, that you are born into original sin, obviously, and all that. That's the particulars of it. But the earth was created. It's going to last a certain amount of time. There is another world, which is a heavenly world, where you go and live for eternity. Eternity. You don't see it. You don't hear it. You don't really get messages. I mean, you could, some people get messages, some other people don't. But when you die, you, depending on how vengeful the particular flavor of your God is, there's a hell and there's a heaven. And if you don't follow the particular rules, you end up going to hell. And I guess if you're a real big believer in it, you think that, oh, well, Jim, you're definitely going to hell. So, well, even if I believe that, I think that's kind of a silly thing to create or allow someone to create a hell where someone's just going to be torturing you. Why would you, if you're all powerful and one of your creations decided to create an opposite one that's horrible and brutal, and you're going to allow the beings you created to be tortured forever by one of your, minions who went off and got, then okay, that's what you want to believe in, you can believe in that. I think it's kind of vindictive. But even then, the understanding that the finite borders of that, meaning the earth was among certain people, the earth is 6,000 years old, it goes to 4,000 BC, and whenever it ends, it could be, you know, this year or next year or 1,000 years from now. And then some people believe there's going to be another 1,000 years of, you know, Jesus ruling over everything, stuff like that. So there's one model, the beginning and end. And the other model is where you go back about 13 to 15 billion years ago to the Big Bang, the formation of the universe and galaxies and stars and solar systems and our planet. And then eventually, the stars and the universe kind of dissipate, meaning spread out because they're spreading out. Maybe they come back, who knows, like a boomerang video on TikTok. But the stars lose their fuel eventually. They're runs out of fuel and the sun expands 5 billion years from now, whenever it does, and it goes past our orbit and envelopes the earth is gone, and that's it. And for that part of our existence, unless we're someplace else and we're still here for 5 billion years and we don't relatively collapse, keep on collapsing, we should probably be able to avoid some of that. But then again, the begs to differ that you'd have to go someplace where there's new forms of stars have formed, because you wouldn't want to move. It's like buying a car, right? If you move off the Earth and you say, oh, we're going to make it real, we got to go 150 light years away. It's going to take us 1,000 years in suspended animation because we got to go 1/10 the speed of light, whatever, and land on this other planet. And then to find out, because we got to leave our planet because the star's about to burn out. It's going to explode or go supernova. So we go to each other just to have the other sun to go at the same time. Right? It's like buying a brand new tire that goes flat on you just as soon as you put it on. But people have a hard time understanding it, and they just have this finite understanding where there are people that choose not to think about it because it's just too difficult. Why should you think about those things? Or these other people say, I'm going to make it as finite understanding. And they don't want they don't want any mystery. And they don't want to believe in any of the mystery. And they believe in the mystery that's more manageable. Or people say, well, we got these ideas about how black holes work and the universe. And not only is there one, the Big Bang, there was a continual Big Bang, meaning different universes are being created constantly. And I go, wow, constantly. So that would be like a string of universes going on and on for however stars, and there's trillions of stars in trillions or whatever crazy number, there are trillions of universes. And that's where you get people thinking that there's, at any time, because of the possibility of trillions upon trillions upon trillions, that there are other, we have different worlds that are almost exactly like ours just by the chance of just, you throw anything in this into a mixing bowl a trillion times, eventually you come up with a chocolate cake. And that's what they're saying. So, to consider the universe and the way it is right now, I enjoy an ever-expanding understanding of it. I'm not saying I understand it. I enjoy that it's ever-expanding. And there's always something new. And it makes it exciting for me. How about you? I'll talk to you later. This is Jim the Keys Bartender, and I hope you have a great day. Bye.